Cody Rhodes' story put on hold? Is it time for CM Punk to hang up his boots? And Mercedes Moné, imminent arrival in AEW, what can she bring to the table? All this and more in today's episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Back again with another podcast. Hope you are well. Hope you have had a really good past week, weekend, and you know, you're well settled into the new year at this point. Before we get into it, you guys know what to do. If you are new to this podcast, please leave it a review, leave it a 5-star rating. You know, let the good people know what's good about this podcast. And of course, share it with people as well. Retweet if you see it on the timeline. You know, let's grow this thing. Yeah, man, this past week has been something special. We had a great Royal Rumble, and literally the fallout from the Royal Rumble, like I said, it's been special. And I don't necessarily mean special as in good, great. I just mean, like, you know, different sort of thing. Obviously, there's been hell of a lot of stuff around Vince. They've basically used that as a means to, you know, give Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson some power. And yeah, a lot has changed. You know, there will be no CM Punk at WrestleMania. There will be no Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And so they feel like they need to change plans drastically, which doesn't necessarily sit right with me, although I do want to see Rock Roman. I just don't think this is how we should have got here, or, you know, put something that we built up with Cody Rhodes, you know, made it so expendable that we can just bring The Rock in, sort of thing. I think that's been done incorrectly. They say it's for business. I'm pretty sure at the same time they said this is going to be the biggest gross in WrestleMania ever. So what business? The business was already done, right? The business has already been sorted out. If you could tell me this was going to be the biggest gross in WrestleMania. So yeah, it just seems a bit funny, fishy. And I don't like the fact that, you know, The Rock, as much as I love The Rock, I don't like the fact he can just kind of swoop in and begin to make decisions. Of course, he is a board member over at TKO, probably the face of the board now being, you know, who he is, The Rock. And with reports coming out that he's got more power than the likes of Triple H, head of creative, I don't like that, man. I don't like that. This is just, I guess, the early stages. You know, he's been a board member for what, 2 weeks? And this has happened already. Yeah, I don't know. Not to say that he's going to always be around and making decisions, but yeah, I don't know. And now I'm hearing he's bringing his famous writer with him, Brian Gervitz, I think is you pronounce it. I don't know, man. Doesn't leave a good taste. I'm not too happy with it, but Rock versus Roman at a WrestleMania that, you know, cross my fingers, I'll be attending. Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I'll be lying if I said otherwise. And I understand the whole box office and it's the biggest match they could do. Yeah, I agree. But like I said, it's the way you get here. In my opinion, like I said in the first place, you guys would have heard me say this, Cody should not have won the Rumble. But they did it. I wasn't bothered. It's not going to be the end of the world for me. I like Cody. I want him to finish his story. But this bloody story don't look like it's going to get finished, does it? So, yeah, I just feel like they've fudged everything up. They've literally fudged everything up. It would have actually even been better for CM Punk to win the Rumble, get injured, can't participate, and then they had to kind of do something else on the fly. I genuinely think that's better than now Cody winning the Rumble. You've made his story about WrestleMania because he won the Rumble. And then now he's not going to face the champion for the title in the main event of Mania. Renders the Rumble somewhat obsolete, no? But you know, we're going to get into this conversation a bit more in a bit. I have a guest with you. You guys will know my guest, Del Boy, Guap Daddy from our collective Wrestlings. Great guy, man. Great knowledge for the business, with some great opinions on him. I don't think Del Boy is given enough credit for, you know, some of the things he knows, some of the how educated he is, and some of his opinions. Although I know, you know, some people will take umbrage of some opinions he has, they're usually coming from a learned place, you know. So I think yeah, it was good to get Del Boy on the show and chop these stuff up with me. Like I said, we're talking about this Cody and Rock story because, boy, how couldn't we? it's the biggest story of the past weekend, and it's gonna rumble on because now the fans are involved. The fans are making their voices heard. Hashtag we want Cody. I love to see it. So yeah, man, this is my conversation with Del Boy on all things Cody Rhodes, and we talk, you know, some of the bits that's happened this week in professional wrestling. Stay tuned. I hope you enjoy it. So at this time, I've got my Wrestlings brother with me. People in the place, Del Boy has arrived. What are you saying, Del?
I'm good, my bro. I'm good, man. How you doing? Thank you for fine. I'm happy to be here, man. I can't lie. WrestleMania.
Yeah, man. I thought it's good to catch up sometimes away from obviously the main group. We're obviously always talking wrestling and stuff, yeah, with what we're doing over at Wrestlings. But it's sometimes a catch up away from the main group and just chop up some of these stories. And as of the day we're recording, you know, the talk of the town is all the Cody Rhodes, Rock, Roman stuff. Let me tell you where I'm at with this before we kind of get started. Because honestly, my head is gone. Yeah. I'm my head is completely scrambled with everything that's happened here. Yeah. So when the segment happened, obviously Cody said to Roman that I'm choosing you, but it won't be at WrestleMania. I've taken counsel from others. And one of the people I've taken counsel from knows you very well. Out comes The Rock. I'm like, okay. The whole time I'm thinking, right, he's clearly going to do this before WrestleMania then, which, yeah, The Rock has twanged you, if that's who you got the counsel from. But ultimately, like, I get it. You know, you've pointed at him at Royal Rumble. You're determined to beat him. You don't want to waste any time. You want to do it at the earliest opportunity. Elimination Chamber, cool, calm, done, fair enough. And then we can get, you know, Rock versus Roman without the title at WrestleMania. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then I remembered, and I saw people talk about it, and then I remembered, hold on, Roman's not even going to be at Elimination Chamber. Yeah. So, sorry, again, what's just happened? And then I'm just thinking now at this point that it's going to be Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania for the title. Cody Rhodes nowhere in sight. He's literally handed over his opportunity, and I'm up till now I'm spun.
Like, he jammed, man. He absolutely jammed.
Yeah, bro. What's your thoughts on this?
Do you know what Cody's problem is? And this has been a thing like since AEW. He thinks too much about his counsel. In AEW, he had the likes of the Arn Andersons, the DDPs that he would go to seek advice. You've now come to the WWE and you've got people to seek advice. Of all people to go and seek advice from, The Rock. The Rock, the person that claimed that he wants to be the head of the table. This is the same person you're going to go. I'm spun. I can't lie to you. As people that are actually going to WrestleMania. And fair enough, people might say, you know what? The story was never him going to WrestleMania. It was always finishing, getting the title belt. And of course, at some point, he made reference to, you know, this is personal now. So the story, it will always be with Roman. But I can't lie to you. This is like, for this story to not end at WrestleMania, I'm not going to lie to you, it doesn't make any sense to me. The grandest stage of them all, you lost your first match with Roman at WrestleMania. For this to now come 360, what was the point of you, at least, what was the point of you winning the Royal Rumble then? Granted, Punk is injured, but fam, I don't know, man. I really don't. I don't know what Triple H is cooking at this point. I don't know what Cody's cooking. I can't smell what The Rock is cooking. Because at this point, it's a lot, man. It's a lot to take in at this point.
Bruv, like, I was a big advocate for, yes, the story is about him winning specifically the WWE title. It doesn't have to happen at WrestleMania. However, the minute he won the Rumble on Saturday. This became about winning this title at WrestleMania. Like, it, the Royal Rumble is ultimately for the main event of WrestleMania. So they've now made it about that. And now he's ultimately nowhere to be seen within this picture, within the card he said, within the belt, sorry, that he said he's after. So, I mean, I guess now all the rumors is that he's going to go and face Seth for the title that I guess he didn't really want. Roman,
the same Seth that Roman was calling his little bro. See, no pop. Actually. Fuck off. I'm so sorry. I'm not having it. I'm not having it. Because like yourself, I was very much for the fact that, okay, cool, the story. Because remember, at some point, we thought that, okay, even if Cody loses at WrestleMania, maybe at a SummerSlam or another pay-per-view, Cody might get the win back. Granted, it didn't happen. The story progressed however it progressed. And we've now come back to this point where Cody's won the Royal Rumble. It had to have been at Royal Rumble. It had to have been at WrestleMania. So now we're being told that, yeah, I'm going to finish my story, but it's not going to be at WrestleMania. And you're just giving up your spot to The Rock. That makes no sense to me. It genuinely spins me. So I don't think we've ever seen this before where someone has won the Royal Rumble and they've gone to either cash in on the opportunity earlier or later.
Yeah, it's silly. Like, it's very silly. He looks silly. And it's just the, now you're going after the title that you said that, you know, you had no interest in. Now, a lot of people are saying the reason is because, you know, the Rock had been apparently pitching for this. WWE been very firm in that, no, you know, we're going with Cody and Roman, and then we'll go on the other side with Seth and CM Punk.
Yeah.
We're going to get to CM Punk today as well. See, that's not happening now because CM Punk is injured.
Yeah,
there's been a whole load of bad press over the past week to do with Mr. McMahon. And now, apparently, The Rock has swooped in with his idea again, saying that, look, now this is the time to do this because a couple man, you know, plans are falling apart and it will raise the morale if I come in, basically, and we do this now.
Morale for
which,
who?
For this is the thing. Like, I don't think it's a thing where it wouldn't raise morale. I think people do want to see this match. I personally do want to see this match. Do I want to see it at the expense of Cody Rhodes becoming WWE champion at WrestleMania? No.
Hell no.
That's the issue now. So, and I don't know if you've seen, again, as of time of recording, I think we're probably up to about 300,000 now. 300,000 dislikes on the Roman Rock video on YouTube. That is the highest amount of dislikes, apparently, on any WWE video on YouTube. What does that tell them?
They just need to see the writing is on the wall. Like you said, I'm sure people will at some point will be excited for a Rock Roman match. This has been something that we've been looking forward to for the past 10 years at this point. But at the expense of Cody, and we all know the story, like, bro, the key word for Cody's return has been story. I've not heard the word story as much as I've heard it in the last year or so, 2 years since Cody's been back. It makes all the sense in the world for Cody and Roman to be the main event. The Rock inserting himself, I get it. And one thing I will say about The Rock is a company guy. The Rock isn't someone... I wouldn't look at The Rock as some of, like, older guys where they just insert themselves into positions because, yeah, they just want to put themselves over. Rock is very giving. So, in that same giving spirit, Rock, please give it a rest and let Cody be because, bro, come on, man. Bro, give it away, man. We don't need, like... We want to see it at some point. We've all been clamoring that this story does not need a title for Rock and Roman. So the fact that now we're veering to that, it just goes against the fact, like, it's like we're supporting Cody for the sake of, for what now?
Yeah. I really just feel like they are just doing him an injustice. And as I keep saying, yeah, right now we're in a very hot marketplace where guys are jumping back and forth, AEW, WWE. And this is right now. Now, I will say this before I finish. We could be jumping the gun.
Yeah.
We could be jumping the gun. Like, this could be literally a swerve, maybe somewhere down the line. We don't know. But right now, this is what we're talking about. And I feel like this is a horrible advert for people that could be possibly coming over in the future. Well, yeah, you treated him like a big star and he looked great and stuff. but you never really, you know, backed him with the title after, you know, when he was at his hottest at least. He took X amount of months, years to get there. I don't feel like WWE can afford to be doing that when literally free agents are becoming available, making big decisions. It's not good. And again, with this dislike thing on the YouTube, it depends how you see these kind of things as metrics or not. I feel like if we can get those people that disliked it into the stadiums, into the arenas for Raw and SmackDown booing, that's when action really has to be taken. Like,
100%.
Don't make a Batista situation. Like, don't make a Roman 2015 situation where, you know, the crowd have to completely turn and it gets ugly to an extent. Like, yeah, there's with the Cody situation, I just feel there's so much at stake in regards to the company crowning this guy as the top guy. You know, those that will possibly follow him into the company as well from AEW. It's just too much for them to mess this up at this point.
Let's say worst case scenario that we still have to insert The Rock into the main event, but then it becomes a triple threat. Would you be happy with that?
No, but if Cody wins, I will take it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what I want. It's not how I wanted it to go down, let me say that. But if Cody comes out as champion, let's take it. I guess it's the neutral ground somewhat.
Yeah. And I think that's a trope that WWE kind of need to like let aside for a while, with the whole someone wins the Royal Rumble and then someone inserts themselves in making a triple threat. We don't need that. Like,
yeah.
But that's just worst case scenario if we definitely need The Rock in the main event. But I'm just spun. I can't lie to you. But like you said, it could be swerving us. It could be swerving us. But then at this point, I don't know.
I would like a situation where CM Punk is still around and CM Punk gets at Cody. You know, you said you're more CM Punk than I am, and this isn't what I would do. And obviously CM Punk has experience of The Rock stealing his shine. And it's like CM Punk now turns to this motivational figure for Cody to stop being this pushover kind of guy. And, you know, as they call it, the politicking title, he goes into business for himself to an extent to make sure he gets what's his. Because saying that you took counsel from someone and they've literally taken your spot sounds crazy. Mad. It's mad. Crazy to me.
Bro, it's mad. Not even CM Punk. CM Punk, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, anybody that's been at Cody Rhodes' side the past year or two that he's had any involvement with, they need to stick it on him. Like, bro, this is very unlike you. You're telling me you left the company for God knows how many amount of years. You came back. You won the Royal Rumble. You lost to Roman. Of course, granted, it wasn't your fault. You've now gotten back to that position only to now give that spot up to someone else. Someone needs to slap him. Jey Uso just needs to slap him and say, yeet. Like, this is not the Cody that I know. Do you know what I mean? Because, if at some point that is the route that they've taken with, you know, having people, you know, let him know, like, listen, this is your spot. You can't give this up for anyone. Like, you worked too hard for this. And then I'll be like, you know what? We're telling a great story. We're telling a great story here. But if that's not the case and we're definitely getting Roman Rock, then I don't know. Maybe it's the Young Bucks and Kenny that needs to actually sit down with this guy and say, so you left all the booing for this instead.
Just
you're better off throwing your belt in the ring and they throw it back to you, because it makes no sense to me. But we'll see, man. We'll definitely see.
Yeah, we got a kind of, you know, we're there's still weeks and weeks to WrestleMania. Yeah. So hopefully this can play out in a way that really does be.
What did I say to you on the pod? We spoke about Roman's reign being stagnant, but I said it doesn't matter, because when he starts off a Friday, shit pops. And we've seen it. It's at our detriment. We didn't want this, but shit happens, you know what I mean? So
literally. Yeah, he's one of them guys, isn't he? Let's talk about CM Punk. Obviously, we mentioned him in regards to he lost the Royal Rumble, he got injured. He is probably one of the key reasons why, you know, these plans have now changed. It's another injury. It's an injury to his tricep. Drew McIntyre has mocked him all week. Logan Paul,
I love Drew.
Him on SmackDown.
So put that world title on Drew. I can't lie to you. I don't want to see CM Punk. I don't want to see Cody versus Seth. I want Seth and Drew one more time, even if it's that elimination chamber. Just put that belt on him, man. He deserves it.
Yeah, 100%. Drew's been doing some great stuff recently. Yeah, bro, he's getting close to 50 years old. Is it just time CM Punk doesn't wrestle? Yeah, does he hang up his boots at this point? The injuries are stacking up. Every time he's given in the last 3 years these opportunities at world titles or these bigger spots, it's fallen flat. He can't hack it. I don't know what it is. Is he doing too much? Is the conditioning not well? Has the 10 years or 7 years out of the game been too much for him to handle? What do you think it is now that we, every time we see him, it's like he's broken? Like,
this guy's made of paper mache. I don't, like, generally, it's like you said, it's like every big opportunity that comes for him, it's like one way or the other, one injury happens, whether it's jumping over the guardrail, whether it's this, whether it's that, now the Royal Rumble with the torn tricep. And it's weird because it's like, yeah, you've been away for God knows how many years, and it's like when you were coming back, you were kind of seeing the progression of him, you know, refinding him steps. You know, he wasn't when he got back. So even in his match with Darby Allin, he seemed a bit gassed. But as time was going on, you can kind of see that the ring rust was wearing out. CM Punk has never been a tremendous athlete. He's never been someone that I looked at and thought, yeah, this guy has God's gift. He's always looked like that type of person where he's had to work for the stuff that he's actually doing. And I feel like maybe being away from the ring for that long, like all the years that you've put in getting to where you are, there's been some atrophy there. So I don't know. I feel like I can't even say he needs to work a simpler style, because all he did was take a DDT, and his arm was collapsed. So I don't know. I feel like maybe time to wrap it up, man. As sad as it is, because I was like, as much as I complained about the stuff he was doing in AEW, I was enjoying it. Came back, I was looking forward to his run here. He injured again. I'm just like, bro, this is like another 9 months that you're going to be gone. Granted, they can still use you in different ways, because I definitely want to see him versus Drew at some point.
Yeah,
I need to see it, but it's like I really, really don't know. I really, really don't know what we're gonna do with this guy, because he now comes back and he now trips down the ramp and he now breaks his toe. He's gone for another 3 months. He comes back. Is this someone that we could even put a world title on?
Oh, this is it.
Is this someone we could really put a world?
I don't know how you do it, because should he have had like a string of matches to kind of get him back into gear before you make plans around him for the Rumble and make, you know, subsequent plans of him going into Mania? Should, you know, we had a lot of, he came back in November. This was his first match in January. So is that like a bit of, did we not realize that, yeah, let's get him going again sort of thing, you know? And I know there's value in keeping him for the big shows and the big matches, but with the track record right now, like he needs to be match fit. He needs games. He needs, you know, exposure out there sort of thing. Yeah. Or do we go the other route of we literally wrap him in cotton wool? Like his first match back, if he comes back, is say SummerSlam against Drew. We then don't see him again until one match, Survivor Series. We then don't see him again until Royal Rumble. I mean, is that a better way to manage it? I don't know how the fans would feel about that, especially like you're saying, if they go put a world title on him and then you're not seeing him at regular periods, at regular intervals. So it's a difficult one with CM Punk, but everything's kind of pointing towards that maybe the time he's taken off was too long. He's not in shape anymore. Obviously, he can maybe still wrestle. He still knows the elementary stuff of wrestling and how to do holds and all that kind of stuff, but your body is maybe not prepared to take it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very yeah, because I remember in December he had his first WWE match with Dominic Mysterio. Obviously, it wasn't televised. It was Madison Square Garden, and I heard decent reviews. Like, it's a CM Punk match, so you know we're gonna get out of it. And people seemed like, yeah, like he seemed like he's in good spirits. Like he seemed like to be doing all right. He also done the training stuff that he did with the NXT lot. And
yeah,
if you see the way that they do their fundamentals compared to CM Punk, it's night and day. You can tell that WWE are whipping people into shape. Where, like, from that, the forward rolls, the back rolls, it's like it's completely different gravy. I feel like maybe he should have spent more time preparing. Like you said, like he's been away from the ring for God knows how many months, especially after whole AEW stuff. He just maybe just, I don't know. I feel like with CM Punk, he always seems like that nonchalant type of person. Like I remember when he first returned to AEW, he'd done some sort of interview and someone asked him, "Oh, how did you prepare to come back?" He said, "Oh, I didn't. I just did a bit of cardio." Then there's your problem.
Yeah,
there's your problem. You can't just rely on cardio if you know you're just going to be doing. Like, look at when The Rock was training for WWE, when he came back to WWE. He was training with, like, Michael McGillicuddy. He was training with Curt Hawkins. He was training with all these different people. Granted, they're not top of the card, but these are people that have, that know their stuff. They've been doing their reps. Same with John Cena when he came back, training with people. Logan Paul himself, training with people. So, I don't know. I just feel like maybe CM Punk should have gone to NXT, man. Listen, maybe that should, nobody's above the performance, so maybe he should have just spent more time.
Maybe he's it's like a bit of arrogance as to, well, I've got a part-time schedule, so I don't need to train all the time. Or like you mentioned with AEW, they're not on the road as often as WWE, so I don't need to put in all of that work. But I think from the sheer point of view that you are getting older, like, you need to make sure you can maintain your body. Your body's ready for the bumps and, you know, even the spur of the moment things, like, you know, embracing the crowd and jumping into the crowd. That's a freak accident, but, you know, even a younger person or someone that's in good condition, even if they got hurt, maybe would be able to work with it to an extent. Like, these are the things that I just don't think he's maybe seeing, overseeing. And yeah, it's ultimately messed up another storyline here. Messed up a storyline in AEW, it's messed up a storyline here now, and now we're facing, you know, The Rock and Roman.
At least it's consistent. It's consistent. It's consistent.
Like consistent Punk.
Consistent.
While he, I guess, is away somewhat, what do you want to see him in and around the show? You know, he's obviously had the commentator shtick before. He's spoken about NXT and wanting to kind of train people and develop the next generation. Obviously, we mentioned the stuff he could maybe do with Cody, telling Cody's story if they choose to go down that route. Do you want to see him still around or what?
Yeah, I think it will definitely be worthwhile having him in and out of TV. Like, I think it would be good. Even seeing him pop up in NXT. I know he loves the girls there. He's always speaking fondly of Cora Jade and Roxanne. Even if it's like backstage segments with Jade Cargill, just so his presence is on TV, just so people know that, you know, he's still about. Ultimately, for him to return, if he is going to be gone for this for as long as he is, for him to return, the plan is that Drew needs to have the belt. Drew needs to defend the belt against Walter in Germany. CM Punk has to cost Drew the belt, and he just has to come back in Germany. For me, I'll be fine with that. If I hear fizz. And Drew turns around and just I'll be there. I can't lie to you. I will run to Germany. I swear to you.
I'll run to
Berlin, man. Because of course, like, granted, you know, Punk, he's injured or he's troublesome, whatever you want to call him. He brings eyes to the product. He's still someone that people want to see. So no matter what program you end up putting him in, whether it's just like a TV segment or whether it's a long-term feud that could potentially happen when he's back, it's going to do numbers and it's going to do money. So I would say, yeah, have him in and around TV, but especially as we're on the road to WrestleMania, like, even if it's just having Drew walk past him and just laugh and just walk off, I'd be fine with it, man, honestly.
Yeah, him and Drew's story is really fun, and it's a shame they've got injured, because even if, you know, that could have been another story that they kind of mingled with each other on the road to Mania along the way. Who knows? You mentioned Jade Cargill. I don't know if you saw, there's like a, I think this was from like a vlog they were doing with CM Punk on the day of the Rumble. And he saw Jade Cargill.
Oh, yeah, he jumped over the thing.
He jumped the barricade.
He didn't break his leg this time.
He managed to not hurt himself. Gave Jade Cargill a big hug. Obviously, they were previous colleagues in AEW.
She's
they,
really
they
sweet.
Spoke about, oh, yeah, yeah. She like, I, so I don't know.
Like, I don't think, know, like, because, like, you don't expect it. It's like, raw, like, you're actually a lovely, lovely girl. Of course, it's a character that we get, you know, how you're on TV, but it's like, You can actually just tell that like, she's just so happy to be here.
Yeah, literally. And then that's they said something between themselves. The mic
about
professionalism.
Oh,
huh?
Where? I know she said something like, "Oh, how did you end up here?"
Yeah, she said yeah, that, and then they both said something like, "Oh, like it's so professional." I definitely heard the word professional within that little conversation. Oh, yeah. She said, "How did we end up here?" But yeah, obviously, like I say, they both know each other from AEW. She made her big debut in the Royal Rumble. She was on SmackDown this past week. Words with Nick Aldis, maybe, and I guess you know Adam Pearce was around. He's interested in her signature. Where do you think Jade Cargill should end up? Because from what I saw at the Rumble, and from how generally they are booking TV in WWE now, I am an advocate now for NXT. Firm, like strong, that she should go NXT. What's your thoughts? Where should Jade Cargill end up?
I definitely think NXT. I think we've both been saying NXT for time, regardless. Like one thing I always say, it's very minuscule the amount of people that are above NXT. Nobody's above it, generally. I feel like NXT will definitely be, the storylines in NXT are great. The overall talent in NXT are great. She'll have more TV time for her to learn and be around other talent. She'll also be able to train as much as she wants. I feel like with her maybe going straight to either a SmackDown or a Raw, granted, of course, it will be great for her. But at the same time, I feel like watching her at the Royal Rumble, has there been improvement with her? 100%. Is there still stuff that she can still work on? Absolutely. So I feel like her being in NXT, allowing her to kind of like be in a big time program in NXT, whether it's against like a Lyra Valkyrie, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like NXT is probably the best suited place for her. And as we know, NXT and SmackDown Raw, there's synergy between them. So even if she was to now turn up one day with the NXT Women's title, says, you know what, I've beaten everyone here, I want some real competition. You've seen stars like Becky Lynch come down to NXT and put on bangers with people there. So, yeah, I don't think she's above NXT whatsoever. I feel like NXT is definitely better suited for her, and it will allow her to have the TV time that she definitely needs. Because I feel like at this point, especially with a lot of the women in the main roster, we've got like the Indy Hartwells, we've got the Candice LeRae's, the Tegan Knoxes. People are fighting for TV time, and a lot of them are rarely getting any. Unless you're one of the bigger stars. So she should just go and cement herself. And it's crazy because a lot of the NXT talent that are now going to be moving on to like the SmackDown, so like a Tiffany Stratton, you've had TV time in NXT. And so you cemented yourself. You're going to have a lot of TV time. So
yeah,
I think it's a cheat code at this point. Just go to
NXT. Yeah. I think NXT is a good choice. Let her hone her skills. And, you know, it's, I don't think, experience wise it's fair for her to jump the queue straight to main roster, because even like we've seen, you mentioned Tiffany Stratton, what NXT has done for her. She came in, you know, complete fresh and everything. She even had a big injury in between her run, came back crazy, like so good, like Tiffany Stratton. Obviously she had a match with Meechin on SmackDown as well, which was great. I just feel like Jade is, she has everything else in terms of the aura, all the superstar kind of attributes. You know, we haven't had the ability. She got some time on the mic in AEW, you know, but I feel like obviously WWE will hone that as well if she went to NXT. I just think it's the right move. And I feel like you said, with the blending between NXT, Raw, SmackDown, everything now, like, I just feel like she could do almost like what Kevin Owens did, come up with the championship and like start denouncing the women's title and this title and that title, calling people out. You know, there'll be people up there that they could feed to her. I use feed very carefully, but like, yeah, like notable names that maybe aren't doing, like if she had a NXT title match with a Liv Morgan, like she could beat Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's a big name, but she can beat Liv Morgan, and it's like, oh, okay, like she's progressing. And you know, imagine one day the general main roster audience that aren't watching her in NXT start seeing her do some mad stuff in the ring. Like, and everyone's like, well, she wasn't doing this in the Rumble. She wasn't doing this in AEW.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, all of a sudden, you're invested for when she's actually here beyond just, you know, aura. Yeah. So,
and remember, yeah, remember when she had the TBS title as well, she'd be doing press and she's out. So the star power is there. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if she did end up winning NXT title, she would probably have this run of, like, I am the real women's championship. I am the real women's champion. She's still doing press. She's taking the NXT title. She's already got, like, a huge fan base online, and she's got a huge presence within, you know, culture. So, fam, the minute she gets that women's title, bro, it's a wrap. Absolute wrap.
Yeah.
Ayo Sky, who? What the heck? Rhea Ripley, who? And then that's when you can now start to have, like, small stories kind of, like, you know, start trickling in, like, hey, cool, I'm the women's champion. Rhea Ripley's looking at you like, what the hell, how can you? You're holding NXT title. She's like, no, it doesn't matter what belt I'm holding. This, as long as I hold it, it's the Roman's title.
It's the Roman's title. Yeah, that's exactly it. The only place I would say they could jump the gun, I don't know how I'd feel about it. I don't think I'll be too mad. If she went to NXT and they kind of made her like NXT champion immediately.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, like, it's still kind of a disrespect, but I don't feel like it's so bad because it's NXT and they can literally leave the title on her for a long period, just give her matches, defenses, you know, who's next, who's next, who's next. She's just beating people, but learning at the same time. But whatever way they want to do it, I think is right. And you mentioned, obviously, the mainstream factor. NXT are going on broadcast TV by October next year. Like, they're going on the CW channel, which I understand is basically in every home. It's not on like any kind of cable or satellite kind of service. So they need someone that looks like a star. They need someone with the mainstream appeal and stuff like you said, to be the face if they're going to be there. And I think people have mentioned with the money they're going to get as well, it opens up to NXT touring and stuff like that. Like, they ain't gonna just be in the performance center no more.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear what the reports are saying. So it just makes sense to put her there. And she has I think, said a lot about Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels has definitely said a lot about her. So I would like to see Shawn Michaels get involved in this bidding war almost for her signature.
Yeah, I'm definitely for it. Like we've been saying that, you know, NXT, the way the turnaround of NXT the last few months in terms of storylines, and not even just storylines, matches. Like, I'm so sorry, we cannot denounce NXT when it comes to bangers. Like, I get it, it's not black and gold, it's not the good old days like it was once was. But the one thing about the good old days is like the good old days. We're in a new era now. And the black and gold, bro, like, the talent there is phenomenal. The matches that they've been having is phenomenal. So that's why when people look down on it, or when they say certain things like, the whole, I don't want All Japan working with NXT. It's like, why?
It's why? There. Yeah.
Why not? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm really sure.
Yeah. Boy, there was another debutant at the Royal Rumble, in the Women's Royal Rumble. Someone I guess we didn't expect, but some rumors are out there. Jordynne Grace. What did you think of Jordynne Grace's Royal Rumble performance?
I can't lie, she didn't eliminate anyone, but she was one of the best in the Royal Rumble.
Literally.
Performance. It's very weird because sometimes you kind of like look at outsiders coming in and it's like, bro, she belongs.
Mm-hmm.
She belongs in WWE, man. She absolutely, and I know a lot of TNA fans are going to probably slander me for that because they're very protective, but bro, I can't lie to you. Jordynne Grace looked like she was at home. Like, she just looked so comfortable there. Like, she just looked like it felt like she'd been wrestling for WWE for time.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. It was just brilliant to see, man, genuinely.
And this is someone that has never wrestled in the WWE. Like, yeah, she hasn't gone through their preliminary or anything like that. Like, she, to be trusted, to be like, yeah, okay, you're the champion for over there, but like, to be trusted, put in here. Obviously, we see on Mickey James, was it last year or the year before, coming as the Knockouts champion. But this is someone that has history with WWE.
Exactly.
Jordynne Grace, no history, trusted, came in, proved herself. And I mean, I think you've answered my question as to should WWE sign Jordynne Grace. And I know there was talks with her maybe about 2 years ago or so, where she chose to re-sign with Impact, obviously now TNA. But I just feel like whenever it's up, it's running up again, like, this is someone they should definitely be looking to bring in. Like, I just feel like you said, everything just fit perfectly.
Yeah. If WWE do sign her, then Scott D'Amore has a lot of work to do. Not to say that the TNA women's division is depleting, but you've already lost Naomi. You've lost Yona. To now lose Jordynne Grace, someone that's been in the company for about 3-4 years and has been doing a lot for the company. Do you know what I mean? She's probably even been there longer, maybe like 5-6 years. This is the time to now start building new women, more women, because bro, the minute WWE fans landed their eyes on Jordynne Grace, the amount of people that didn't know who she was now want to know why she's not been in this company. So it's either put up or shut up for Scott D'Amore. But yeah, no, I'm even just imagining like all the different matchups we can get with Jordynne Grace and Bianca Jordynne Grace, Rhea Ripley Jordynne Grace, even people like Shayna Baszler Jordynne Grace. Bro, the matchups, bro, will be eaten.
Yeah.
A whole new pool of people.
Like we mentioned the other day at podcast that, you know, maybe Jordynne Grace gets a spot at WrestleMania, even if it's to come and defend the Knockouts title. I mentioned Bianca Belair as a competitor, or Naomi Trinity, that she would know. I thought it would be a bit difficult to book Naomi, obviously. Well, you can't send Naomi over there, be calling her Trinity, then send her back to WWE and call her Naomi. But if they built it on WWE TV, they could call in Naomi and give Jordynne Grace a Rumble spot, which right now, I don't think it's like impossible to do. Tiffany Stratton showed up on SmackDown this past week. She made a big impact. So I think she's probably thrown her name in the hat for a WrestleMania match, maybe against one of Naomi or Bianca Belair. But I feel like Jordynne Grace deserves, for that Rumble performance, I feel she deserves that. Or send someone the other way to, you know, help TNA. Like, that's what a partnership is, isn't it?
That's literally it. And like, for me, I don't know, I feel like I've been a partnership whore the last month or so when I'm just clamoring about it. But, bro, this is what wrestling should be about. Wrestling should be about the whole back and forth. And, of course, it seems a bit lopsided at the moment with, you know, TNA talent coming into WWE. But at the time when Mickey James came in, it was Vince McMahon at the helm. Now that Triple H is at the front running seat, I'm sure maybe he will be polite enough to maybe, even if you're not to now go and send, I would want a Bianca or someone of that ilk to go to TNA. But even if you were to now go and send a Natalya or a Tegan Knox, it will still do some sort of numbers and it will still feel good because a WWE talent has gone over there to fight. If they lose, they lose, and that's it. That's what a partnership should be. And then as time goes on, we start to see more things. As long as it's not invasion. I'm good.
Yeah, we don't need an invasion.
We don't need an invasion, man. Nobody's believing an invasion at this point. But this is what wrestling's about, man, generally. Expecting the unexpected and never say never. I didn't think all of us that day when we was all watching the Royal Rumble, we didn't think we're going to see the TNA Knockouts Championship or Jordynne Grace.
I heard the music and I thought it was Steiner. Exactly. You know what I mean? I heard sirens.
And they let her with her TNA song as well.
Yeah.
Bro, it's crazy. It's big. Bro, it's crazy to think of, man.
That's the era that we're in now. And, you know, the partnerships, like we mentioned, and people can just turn up anywhere. And there's one more woman I wanted to talk to you about today, turning up. Mercedes Moné. By all accounts, it looks like in March, as we're being told, between Fightful and Andrew Zarian from Mat Men Podcast, March is as close to a date that we're getting that Mercedes Moné will turn up in AEW. It sounds like it's all kind of done and dusted at this point. Now, we know her very well from her time in WWE, one of the most beloved female wrestlers in the company. She decided to leave the company a couple of years ago. She went on her merry way, ventured into Japan, done some good stuff in Japan. I feel like New Japan has kind of let her down with the kind of groundwork she started and kind of just done nothing with the IWGP women's title since then. And even the New Japan Strong women's title has not been as prominent as I guess they thought it would be if Mercedes had it. Now she's venturing into AEW, which firstly, you know, I would say the women's division is improving. I feel like with every kind of two episodes, it gets better. We have in the past seen, you know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back sort of thing. But I would say it's generally improving. But I done a video on this a while ago that when Saraya joined, I know Saraya would have thought, I'm going to be the person that can change the fortunes of this place. And very incorrect, whether it's her fault or, you know, booking or whatever, like, it just never works for Saraya. Hasn't worked, let me say, because she's still there. I'm sure Monet is of the thinking of the same. I'm going to be the person that can change the fortunes of this woman division. What do you think Mercedes Monet, obviously we know she'll bring eyes to the product, all that kind of stuff, but what do you think she can really bring to make a change to AEW's women's division, the booking of it all? Like, what is in store? If she's signing a 3-year deal, let's say, there must be something, you know, that she probably thinks she can do in that time to turn that fortune, their fortune around. Or is this just self-indulgent and, yeah, I just want to be the top woman here and, you know, she doesn't care about the overall division. What's your thoughts on her signing and what she could bring?
I mean, if she decides to be self-indulgent and just, you know what, let's get this belt on me, it does absolutely nothing for the women's division. You saw it with Saraya. Saraya won the women's title. It done absolutely nothing. It was literally just a bum lick of, yeah, we're in London, we're in your home country, let's win the title. I feel like, if Saraya, I mean, if Mercedes wants this women's division to flourish, it's a matter of making every single woman matter. When I say everyone matter, someone like a Red Velvet. Red Velvet shouldn't be a perennial loser. Like, you having good matches shouldn't be enough on AWTV, especially for the women. People like Red Velvet, we saw it with Sky Blue. We've seen it with tons of other women where literally week in, week out, they're literally just used to have a decent match and job. That's it. We're seeing that this coming week with Red Velvet when she faces, who's she facing? She's facing Tony Storm.
This week, Tony Storm.
She's facing Tony Storm this week, yeah. And I look at stuff like that and I'm like, why? How do you want me to care about Red Velvet? You're giving her the amount of volume of matches that she has. Because she has a lot of matches. And We've seen this, we're seeing this with Queen Aminata at the moment as well, having brilliant matches. Granted, she just started having brilliant matches. People are speaking highly of her. But at some point, people are going to look at it like the same way we looked at Takeshita, the same way we looked at Roosh, the same way we looked at Eddie Kingston. Actually, let's forget Eddie Kingston. These two people were, they're having brilliant matches. They're winning. They're having great matches, but they can't win. So moving forward, it's like, why do I care about this person? Why should I even care about the match itself? Because I just know this person is just there to lose and it's just going to progress the story further. So ultimately, I think there just needs to be like an overhaul of how the women are being booked. If we're now bringing back rankings as well, there needs to be a clear division of, okay, cool, these are the top women, and then these are the women that, not necessarily losers, but these are the women that are going to be jobbing, and then there's going to be the mid-card of women that, up and down, they may win, they may not win. And if Mercedes has the eye for it, then I feel like it will be better for the women. If not, and it becomes a thing where, similar to Saraya, where you've just been inserted into the fold of, you know, you're just a woman that's a part of a collective of women that's wrestling, then it's not going to help the women's division whatsoever. I think maybe what Mercedes can do is also been influenced in the fact that Tony, you're not a woman. Kenny, you're not a woman. So you don't really know how to book women that well. So maybe even if they hire maybe like a Mickie James as a freelancer, like, come and help with booking the women. These are women that know how women's wrestling works. We know what works for on TV for women, what doesn't work on TV. And then, you know, I don't think it should just collectively just be one person booking the women's, and certainly not a man that struggles to even book the men, talk less of the women, you know?
Yeah. Kenny, it sounds as if he probably stepped away from booking the women a while ago. Like I said, it feels like sometimes things are getting better, but at the same time, like, okay, at the back end of last year, we looked like we had a real established TBS division.
Yeah.
The world title was just Tony Storm. It was just Tony Storm. We'll heat someone up for a couple of weeks, feed them to Tony Storm, and then that person's gone. And unfortunately, I see something very similar happen with Deonna Purrazzo right now. They're getting her ready for Tony Storm. And yeah, Tony will probably beat her at Revolution, and then that's it with her. The only thing with her that I guess will give her some longevity is, I think, with Serena Deeb returning, obviously the technical stuff between the two of them, that can give her a next program. After that, I don't know. I really don't know for Deonna Purrazzo. Maybe a TBS title run. But I think Mercedes probably has some type of creative influence within her contract, especially if she is signing like a multi-year deal. She should surely have some creative talk within the entire division, not just her stuff. Because I don't see the appeal in signing a long-term contract as a woman in AEW. If this was Mercedes Monet, you know, as a guy in the men's division, sign away, but fair enough. And like, as much as I want to see her in AEW, I just think her appearance deal right now is a smart thing to do until we can prove we can actually cultivate an actual division here, sort of thing. So in terms of what she is bringing to AEW, it's eyes 100%. It looks like they're giving her the whole kind of CM Punk debut, maybe in her hometown, and gonna drop a hint that, you know, she's coming in. Like they're gonna give her the red carpet treatment and all of that kind of stuff, which is, you know, deserved. Like she's worth it. It's the division now that is like, how are we going to maintain her looking like a star within this division that we barely give two matches to on Dynamite? I think I saw someone say the other day, in like every Dynamite there's ever been, there's been only six shows that have had two women's matches on it,
and the rest have been one or zero.
One, and then maybe like a one in a segment. I think this past week it was just the one match and no like other women's segment or anything on the show. Can I even argue for them and say they're pressed for time? Like, it's 2 hours, but you can get some, you know, two matches in there at the very least.
Like, bro, AEW tend to have matches where it doesn't necessarily even have to be in the card. It's not like it's progressing stories. Because I think the problem is that does AEW, of course, it's sports-based, so that's been their shtick. But are you trying to go down the route of where everything has to be story, or is everything an exhibition? I feel like if you're going to mix up and mix and match, it's not working well, because it seems like everything that AEW doing is story-based at this point in time. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to have more women's matches, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying at this point, because really and truly, like, I'm even deep in it last year. Hikaru Shida was a two-time championship, game three, the first ever three-time women's champion. She won the belt. She won the belt on the 200th episode, I think, or the anniversary episode.
Yeah.
She ended up losing it at, in Wembley, then won it back after. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, we've been hot potato in the women's title for like 6-7 months at this point. So, I don't know. Mercedes, please, if you're coming, bring someone with you to come and save this division, because really and truly, I look at women like, okay, granted, they've done something good with Julia Hart. Julia Hart, great. Sky Blue, I've never been a fan of, but she's progressing. But someone like a Red Velvet should have been a star. Willow, as popular as Willow is, should have been a star. And you spoke about the TBS division that they were building. They were building the division until they now started to make Willow and Chris Statlander partner up and mess around with Malcolm Bivens. It's not getting anyone anywhere. It's not doing anything for the divisions. And it's like, how do you expect fans to be invested in the women if you can barely put them on TV, put them in programs outside of the world title that actually matter? And like, there's just no force for it. So Mercedes, I hope you're making the right decision if you're coming to this company. Or if you are coming to this company, I hope you're able to at least foster a change in it, because everything else seems to be improving. But the women's division just seems to be something that just has its peaks and troughs. And it's becoming a lot. We're how many years into the company now? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, this is the 50 year come October or so. Yeah.
And this is the only part of the product that hasn't improved. Well, it's improved, but it's the only part of the product that hasn't been consistent. Everything else has either been really good or really bad. This one it doesn't know whether it's coming or going. So I want more film in this division.
100%. Like, I know I do this as a fan, you know, ever since the whole Mercedes to AEW thing, I've been putting it on Mercedes as if Mercedes is flipping Mother Savior. Mary that's going to save you. Yeah, I've been doing it. It's not the correct thing to do. I know that. But, like, as the absolute superstar that she is coming in, you just feel there has to be a level of, I'm going to lift this place off the ground sort of thing. And like I say, this is probably what they thought that Saraya was going to do. And, you know, Saraya was just kind of just getting back to wrestling herself after obviously long period out. I really do think that, you know, maybe what you're saying is the correct thing to do. It's not her coming in and having that sole responsibility. She will be the TV person that does that, has to lift it all on TV, but maybe behind the scenes they really do need someone that's gonna lift it. Like, yeah, if you're bringing me in, you're gonna sign this writer, you're gonna sign this person that's gonna head up creative for women's division, and we go from there. Because to bring Mercedes in, and even if I still think it's a problem if every week she's the one match a week that we're getting, or she's the one promo segment a week we're getting, I think that's an issue as well. Like, sure. It's not just feed her everything, you know, put everything on her shoulders, her head, and expect her to carry it. But yeah, it is. You're right in saying that it's just not her alone that's going to make this change.
Yeah, it's like they say in the Nigerian proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, and it's going to take a whole lot of things, a whole lot of people, and a whole lot of motivation to build this women's division to what it can actually be, because the talent isn't the problem. Like, AEW, in terms of talent...
I don't think it's ever has been.
It's never been the talent. It's never been... Like, whether it's the vets that have come in, or the indie people that they've signed, or the newer people, the talent has never, ever been the problem. It just seems to be the amount of time that you give them on TV, it's just... Not even from a match standpoint, it's just never progressing. Someone like a Toni Storm, I can't lie to you, her character is insane. The fact that it is as popular as it is and it's so fun. For me, something like that is what we need more of in the women's division. Because for me, I look at that transcends whether it's a man or a woman. This is a TV star. This is an absolute TV star. But then everybody else just seems to be wrestlers. And it's like, we need more larger-than-life characters. Maybe not Abaddon. I like Abaddon, but... they're not even using. Halloween will come and that's when they decide to use her. Or we've got a horror film that was that's sponsoring AEW Dynamite today, or Rampage. So we bring Abaddon to come and come on, man.
We know this company too well.
We know the company too well. They think they can trick us. We've seen it. We've seen what they've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years. So the talent has never ever been the issue. It's just that, one, they're failing to book proper stories outside of both titles. Two, even when we have both titles, it seems to be like we're not building stars, and we're not building enough stars to be able to feel like they can contend for the titles. I keep going back to Red Velvet, but again, Red Velvet is a star. Red Velvet has, like, she's improved so much. From that period where she disappeared and she came back, her first match back, I was thinking, I can't lie to you, they've got something here with Red Velvet. They've got something here with Red Velvet. But then ever since then, it just seems to be whenever we want someone to just lose a match, we're going to get Red Velvet to come and wrestle. And for me, it's like, is Red Velvet not more than that? I genuinely don't understand. So,
and to think Red Velvet had the same start as Jade Cargill in regards to that tag match, Cody, you know, she was chosen to replace Brandi Rhodes. Like, that's almost an anointing in itself, bro, that you're going to step in for her and be in this match with Cody and Shaquille O'Neal and Jade Cargill. And she was at the time, if we're honest, the real women's wrestler representative at the time. She's ahead of Jade. Like, she was the one that you kind of trusted with to be in the ring and lead Jade when Jade was in the ring. So it's like, yeah. And granted, she's had her own injuries that have, you know, slowed her down. But like you said, is she not more than just someone that we can roll out to lose when we need someone to go over? It's very bad.
this is someone they should have put the rocket on as soon as she came back. I could see Red Velvet as a TBS champion easily.
Yeah.
This is someone they could have easily pushed. I could see her with facing the likes of a Chris Statlander or Serena Deeb. Even like, there's so much to her. There's so much to a lot of the women on the roster. But
when I never remember her name. But she come from Impact. Period. What's her face again?
Which one?
She's Tasha Steele's partner back in Impact.
Oh, Kira Hogan.
Kira Hogan. Kira See Hogan. What I mean? He's above so many of these women, to rubbish the rest of them. But ready
these are people
go,
that have come like, from TV. These people have been doing TV 4 or 5 years prior to coming to AEW, but then they're still coming to AEW to do Perennial Loser. But then they'll have one match, and it's like, oh my god, they just had a banger. This is what we know this wrestler can give us. We know these wrestlers are great. We know that they can put on good matches. We know that they can have good segments. But we want them to be able to do that. One, outside of Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor is the land where everybody dies. And two, we want it to be done outside of the world title and on TV. So the fact that everybody can look at this person and be like, oh, this person's actually great. This person's good. Yeah. Or this story's good. We just need more. And I don't think we're asking for too much. But it just seems to be going through one ear coming out the other, because there'll be a lot of people making excuses saying, oh, at least they still have women wrestling on TV. That should be the bare minimum. That should be the bare minimum. Literally. You know what I mean? So
It's Mercedes needs to come, and she needs to fight for the opportunity. It's the opportunity that her and these other women need. We need the story around the title, the story around the TBS title, and then we just need stories and character development up and down the card. Like you mentioned, you know, we've got a great Toni Storm. We've even got something in Abaddon, whether you're into that or not. Like, but the rest of these guys are just wrestlers, and there's not much going on behind that. Like, so, and as we know, being a great wrestler doesn't pay the bills. When you're wrestling on TV, being a great wrestler don't pay the bills. So,
do you know what's great about this? The fact that this is AEW, because again, people clamor, this isn't sports entertainment, this is pro wrestling. But even then, when you're just solely a great wrestler, what has it done for you? What has it done for people in AEW? Because even those who are great wrestlers in AEW, the ones that we're pushing are the ones with great characters. MJF, Moxley, Bryan Danielson. Even Claudio, I'll give him it as well. Claudio, he'd be surprising me sometimes, you know what I mean? But there's like, we everywhere has great wrestlers. Everywhere. But if you're just that, I'm so sorry, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. So I think even if Mercedes does come, I think she should stay far away from the title as much as she can. Just for now, if we're able to build stories around her at that point. Because knowing Tony, you'll put her on, and then after a few months, she's now going to be the one to chase off the title. And we want her as champion if she decides to do 3 years there. But if we're able to kind of put Mercedes in a position where it will benefit other women on the division as well, and it'll bring eyes to them, and Mercedes can have a good match with a broomstick if she wanted. Yeah. There's plenty of people that would be able to have great matches with her for the time being, until she does eventually come and say, you know what, I want to go for the title now. She should work her way up. I think we need stories outside of the title.
She needs to put her Becky Lynch hat on, because that's what Becky Lynch has been doing over the past 6 months to a year now, and just selfless stuff. And it's been working and showcasing herself very well, showcasing these other women, getting everyone more time in general. Yeah, it's what's needed, man. It's definitely what's needed. Is there anything else you're kind of looking forward to in wrestling, maybe in the next couple months or so?
Mania, of course. Mm. I'm intrigued to kind of see where New Japan go in terms of Okada leaving and Will Ospreay leaving. What are they going to do with United Empire? Is United Empire still going to be a thing? Are they going to appoint a new leader? What's the plan of Okada? Does he go to WWE? Does he go to AEW? How would they book him wherever he is? I'm just intrigued to kind of see where wrestling goes. And, you know, are WWE going to probably do more partnerships? Are AEW going to work on the partnerships that they already have and kind of, you know, move people around? I'm just intrigued to kind of see where wrestling at. We're only a month into this year, coming up to 2 months now, and bro, so much has happened. So much has happened. So
good and bad, but
good and bad. But, you know what I mean? But a lot has happened. So yeah, I'm just intrigued to kind of see like where the next few months takes us, and like just the butterfly effect of wrestling is crazy. The fact that someone can get injured and it now changes the course of a story, and it changes this, it changes that. Yeah. Someone is leaving a company, so this can change the course of someone's push and that. Like for me, I love that kind of stuff, and I'm always intrigued to it. So yeah, I'm what about you? Yeah. Is there anything that you're intrigued to see next few months?
Mentioned how AEW going to bring in Ospreay, how AEW more than likely will bring in Okada. If Okada comes to WWE, I think I'll fall off my chair. I don't even know how I'll react because it's mental. It's beyond mental. But I really honestly think that he could do it. And I think Shinsuke could be a deciding factor because they're good friends. Yeah, I just think that Okada could turn up in WWE if he really wants to challenge himself, if he really wants to like plant his flag in the ground and be like, I'm the guy that's going to make the difference between how we have previously been perceived on American TV. There's no one else. He's the man to do it if there is anybody. So yeah, and I think like you've said before, he has generally got a character that can fit within the four walls of WWE as well. So yeah, I expect him to go to AEW, and I'll be more than happy if he goes to AEW. But you know, if he really wants a test and really wants to, I want to say something around his legacy, if he can be the guy to almost crack the WWE, be the first, you know, Japanese WWE champion or whatever the case is.
Like, hey, now that you've said that, I'm gassed. First Japanese American champion. Hey, listen, Okada, go to the email. I'm so sorry.
Bro, like don't go wrong, I'll be the man to do it.
Bro, that would be nuts. And that would shut everybody up. That would absolutely shut everybody up. And for me, I like chaos. So if Okada is able to go to WWE and have the run of his life, because I don't know, maybe I trust Triple H too much. I've seen the changes this guy's made over the last few years. And for me, I'm just like, Triple H knows what he's doing. Like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that he's done in the past that people look over, I just look at it like, you know what, he's working under Vince, he's just going based on what his father-in-law wants. And now he's got the keys to the kingdom. Bro, he can let his nuts hang, and he's doing what he wants now. If Okada goes to WWE, bro, I'm already thinking about his WrestleMania opponents. I need to see him versus Finn or versus AJ. And I promise you, we're going to have this. Hey, I'm gassed.
He'll be mad. Like, honestly, I just feel like, they don't, when if he ascended to the title, it wouldn't even have to be difficult. Something like what Gunther's doing now, that's all it would ever have to be. Like, you know, you can put in little promo bits here and there, but it's just match after match after, you know, banger after banger with people he's majority never faced before. Like
him versus Chad Gable. I just feel
there's so, yeah, it'd be mad. It'll be mad. Like there's the legacy stuff, like you said, like him versus Shinsuke, Finn Balor, AJ, kind of stuff that of course, you know, fans will want to see as well. But him and a Rollins, him and a Reigns, him and, you know, a Chad Gable, like you said, like there's a lot there as well. And again, I'm not dismissing,
bro, there's so many
one thing people need to do,
we can't deny that there are matchups regardless of what it is. There are matchups for Okada in WWE. There are plenty in AW. We've seen a lot of them, but WWE, there are a lot. We might have seen a couple of them, but bro, we know that these people will make him look like stars on Raw or SmackDown. Him versus Ricochet, the day when we see Ricochet sell that Rainmaker on SmackDown or Raw, I will run to bro, fam. Even a backstage segment, and we see Bronson Reed walk up to him and doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
like you remember me, bro. I'll be there. There is so bro. There's so much, regardless of what company he goes to. There's a lot of matchups to be had. But I just feel like a lot of people are just sleeping on WWE because it's sports entertainment. But like I said, there's legacy people that he's faced before. There's people he hasn't faced before. And him versus I'm walking away, man. Him versus Gunther.
Bro, there is a lot, and it's a whole other conversation. But I just feel like, yeah, it's going to be fun regardless of wherever he turns up. We'll probably know by, you know, the first weekend in March if it is AEW. we might know before that if we see him turn up in WWE. So yeah, it's a changing, moving landscape, like you said, man. Bro, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Yeah, we've got to do this again. But yeah, love for coming through.
Appreciate it, man. You guys, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, man. Make sure you rate everything that Mex does. The hardest working. Piquet.
Try it, man. Piquet. Love, bro. Big up my guy, Del Boy, man. It was a pleasure speaking to him. Like, obviously, like I said at the top of the conversation, it's obviously we're generally speaking within the group, you know, all the rest things boys, chatting what we're chatting about. So it's rare that we kind of get, you know, time to speak just a couple of us about wrestling sort of thing. So it was good to have this conversation. And even in that last bit there about Mercedes Moné, I do think, like I said, I'm guilty of being the kind of person that's been like, yes, Mercedes Moné needs to sort out this situation. It's not her bloody job, mate. She's a professional wrestler. So I need to, and maybe other fans need to stop putting that kind of pressure on her. They need to get a booker. They need to get someone that knows their way around women's wrestling. And Mr. Tony Khan needs to make sure they are assigned good time every week to make that imprint. Because the division's there, the talent's there. I see people online listing all the names in the division. The division is there. The talent's been there. And like I say, I never thought the talent within the division was the issue. It was the time they were given. It was what they were given to work with in terms of stories that didn't really do them any favors. Ups and downs, swings and roundabouts. It's been hot. It hasn't been hot. You know, they've done what they could at times, but it's not good enough as a consistent basis over 5 years. If they had like a you know, half decent women's division booked, is what I mean, like, this promotion would be flying. And I don't necessarily mean that in terms of numbers and things of that nature. Like, obviously a lot of people are, you know, of the belief women's wrestling doesn't draw, whatever. But I'm someone that enjoys women's wrestling a lot, you know. NXT, you know, early Black and Gold days, done a lot for me in terms of my switching my mindset from women's wrestling just being something we do to give women time on screen, away from, you know, when it developed out of like bra and panties matches and actually they started wrestling. But even when they started wrestling, generally speaking, they weren't the best. And like I say, NXT kind of, you know, made me realize women can actually wrestle. Women are brilliant at this too. And yeah, I want to see the names in AEW get the chance to really shine and prove themselves, because like I say, the talent is there. Before we wrap up today, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys. I've been doing this now for, how long have I been doing this for now? About 3 years, three-ish years, or coming into my fourth year, something like that. And you guys have been rocking me, you've been supporting me, my videos. I started out on Instagram, I was making a lot of videos on Instagram. I wanted to move over to YouTube because I wanted to make a bit more kind of longer form content. And you guys have followed my journey, followed me then onto my podcast here, where, you know, when I decided to make a podcast, I've done stuff with, you know, Wrestling Republic. I've done stuff with Kick Out Podcast, Rest Things as well, and with all the platforms that have invited me on, for me to share my opinions and stuff like that. Just, yeah, big up everybody and big up all the supporters and the fans. And obviously in the past week, a lot of you have been very kind. You've shared your well wishes with me. As I was revealed as the newest member of the Gorilla Position podcast, Gorilla Position returns. Absolutely amazing. It's been a long time coming. You know, they've worked very hard, the team, to kind of make something different and bring something different. Gorilla Position is the biggest WWE podcast in the country. So to get to be a part of that, a podcast host on what was my introduction into podcasts, let alone wrestling podcasts, because I used to listen to a sports radio station called Talk Sport that we have in the UK. I used to hear Gorilla Position adverts on Talk Sport, and you know, they were like, yeah, come over to the podcast, Apple Podcast, and download Gorilla Position every week, blah, blah, blah. And I did eventually. And yeah, I never turned back. And that was it. And when Gorilla Position, you know, decided to kind of go on this long hiatus they've been on over the last 3 years or so, that's when I started. Because I thought, well, now I want to talk about wrestling. Now I don't really know anywhere else that's talking about wrestling, of course. Me and my little mind everywhere talks about wrestling, but at the time it was Gorilla Position for me or bust. So when it stopped, I started, and now to kind of be, you know, seeked out, they want me to join their team and stuff. It's just brilliant. It's very wholesome. It's very full circle. So yeah, I'm very happy. And I appreciate everyone that's, you know, sent their well wishes. I appreciate everyone that has been a part of this journey, supporting me, retweeting, liking videos, sharing videos, even giving feedback and stuff like that on videos, what I can do better. I can't thank the Rest Things boys enough. I can't thank Del Boy and Lloyd particularly, Anafi, enough. They've given me a lot of confidence over the past couple of years in regards to my work and what I'm doing and stuff like that. A lot of, you know, well wishes and a lot of yeah, just a lot of general confidence. Skillet, A Dazzle of BWA, yeah, that's like my kind of little immediate family when it comes to wrestling content, and become good brothers to me. So yeah, thank you all. Thank you all the subscribers, all of that kind of thing, because I think everyone's played their part in kind of making this dream a reality. So yeah, enough of the soppy chat. I'll leave you guys. I'll get this podcast out for you lot. Please guys, you know, the grind don't stop. Keep sharing. I really appreciate that. Leave feedback. Leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to. And yeah, just keep sharing and showing the love. Like I say, I thoroughly appreciate it every single time. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.